Hey everybody, how you doing? How are you doing? Yeah? Okay, good. Hey, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's a good cause that everybody needs to know about. I'll talk about it shortly here, but I thought I'd do some advertising. I see a lot of advertising too going on for the movement. Bonjour, Zangi Benesi and Nene Tishnakas Migazito Dem. My name is Clayton Thomas, as mentioned by my gracious moderator. I come from a community called Pugatawagan, which is part of the Cree Nation. It's located in northern Manitoba, about the 56th parallel, on a river called the Churchill River, or in my language, Missinipe. I guess first and foremost, I just also want to recognize the conveners of this gathering for pulling together such a comprehensive and holistic vision for the next 3 days. And, I think it's gatherings like this that facilitate the convergence that is necessary for us to collectively work together in a good way and combat the issues that we face together globally. I also want to take some time to just acknowledge in a good way the traditional territory that I'm in. I believe it's Algonquin territory. And also just take a minute to encourage all of you to take the time to contact your MLAs, to contact the Prime Minister's office, to contact the Minister of Indian Affairs office with the current situation that is happening right now as we speak in Barrier Lake, about an hour and a half from here. There has been another occupation roadblock by the community trying to elevate the issues of this government's failures to adequately address the concerns that the community is facing and recognize the traditional government that the community has lifted up to represent them as they're faced to the federal government, to the provincial government of Ontario. And the Quebec riot police did come in yesterday, and the chief was arrested again in the community. And this is the same community that was where the government used the Charest government used the riot police against them last month, where they actually tear gassed many children in the community and a lot of the local elders. So it's a grave human rights situation that's going down as we speak. I encourage you all to mobilize. If you Google Barrier Lake First Nation, there's a solidarity blog you can go to for more information as well. I'm sure Ed's got some information he can share with all of you and myself after this session. And I think the most important thing is that they need donations, they need resources, help, straight money if you can afford it, other items as well, and just anything you can do to step up in solidarity. That being said, I guess the responsibilities that I carry within my day job, I work for an organization called the Indigenous Environmental Network. And we are a coalition, or a network of impacted American Indian, Alaska Native, and First Nations communities spread out across what we call Turtle Island, what many of us have grown up to know as North America. And our sole purpose for existence is to fight to protect the sacredness of Mother Earth from toxic contamination and corporate exploitation. And we do this through a variety of means, and one of those ways is I run a campaign for IEN called the Canadian Indigenous Tar Sands Campaign. And so my work is predominantly focused in northern Alberta. As you can see from this map, demonstrates where the epicenter of the world's largest and most devastating industrial project is currently underway. And as you can see, this monster has many tentacles that are spreading out across Turtle Island in the form of pipelines, refinery expansions in the lower 48, as well as proposed new refineries, and many, many, many other infrastructure that brings much, much impacts and human rights abuses to local frontline Indigenous communities and fence line communities of color all across the continent. And so my organization does what's called political base building. As an environmental justice network in the United States, we operate under a certain protocol that my colleague did talk about in terms of organizing within the principles of environmental justice. I do encourage all of you that are taking notes, make sure you Google the 17 principles of environmental justice that were developed with the 1991 First People of Color Environmental Leadership Summit in Washington, D.C. to get more information on that. But I think the most simplistic protocol that we adhere to is that communities of color and indigenous communities speak for themselves. And so with that protocol, that premise, I guess, the campaign that I'm working on is all about supporting First Nations and Métis communities located in northern Alberta, in the region now known as the Tar Sands Development, to organize, to expand on the political base of support within those communities, to support their leaders that have stepped up to take a stand against the province of Alberta, against the over 40 mega oil companies that are operating in their homelands and wreaking havoc with that development and destroying their water resources, the quality of their air, and of course committing cultural genocide on the Cree, Dene, and Métis communities that have lived there for time immemorial by destroying their ability to continue to practice those traditional relationships that they have with their sacred homelands through their hunting practices, ceremonies, and social experiences that they do as families out on the land. All of this is under threat right now, of course, by this project. As I mentioned, there are over 40 companies that are operating there already, with some of the big players like BP out of England, like Shell, like Total Fina from France, Imperial here in Canada, Petro-Canada. The list goes on and on and on. And so I think that I just wanted to put that out there, you know, for y'all to chew on for a minute and then rewind. This morning I was driving my son. I was driving him to daycare. You know, I put him in daycare a couple days a week. He goes and plays with his buddies. It's awesome. He's excited. They got lots of toys that he doesn't have at home. And on my way back going home, you know, I was listening to the radio, and there was this really powerful interviewee that was on CBC. She's a woman of African descent from one of the inner city communities in Toronto, had been an educator for 30 years. And the host of the CBC show asked her, he said, you know, so you're in Atlanta, and you're at this educators conference, and they're talking about racism. And do you think that Canadians face the same issues of racism? Do you think that we have the same problems as in America? And if so, you know, how do you think we're doing a good job at addressing it? And, you know, it was interesting what she said. She said, you know, I think that we're pretty backwoods when it comes to race, when it comes to class, and when it comes to gender analysis in this country, and how this country really, I guess, talks about these systems of power that are utilized to marginalize certain segments of the population so that other segments of the population can thrive. And I think that, you know, it's very critical that as we spend time together over the next 3 days, that we really be intentional about deconstructing these kinds of systems of power and really deepening our analysis on how these kinds of systems of power keep us fractured and divided as a movement. Because in today's day and age, you know, discretionary spending across this country is going through the roof. And that's attached to the climate crisis, okay? The ability to feed people in terms of food security, water security, the ability to access clean water, the ability to have clean air is all under threat because of the rapid, unsustainable Western scientific industrial experiment of the last 150 years. We've managed to put ourselves in a crisis that threatens every aspect of our society to continue to move forward in any kind of equitable or just way. And we have to be very sophisticated in our approach of how we come together to address some of these global problems on a local level, okay? And, you know, when we talk about coalitions, when we talk about, you know, coming together in networks and uniting our movements and having convergence, we have to first and foremost address these power dynamics that keep our movements fractured and divided. And by power dynamics, I'm talking about race, I'm talking about class, and I'm talking about gender, okay? And the reason I bring that up is because a lot of my work in organizing with First Nations communities to try and stop the world's largest development from destroying their lands and, you know, causing havoc and contributing to this ongoing global climate catastrophe that we're facing is due to the fact that the only way we're going to stop the tar sands is if we have convergence amongst movements. I've been talking to labor. I've been talking to people from the faith community like Ed Bianche here in Kairos and others as well. I've been talking to many, many student unions, student groups, spoke at many universities in the last year, talking about this issue of working in what's called a movement framework. Okay, my colleague talked about the Canadian Social Forum. I also happen to be involved in the World Social Forum movement myself. My organization sits on the International Governance Committee of the World Social Forum. And we just returned back from the Social Forum of the Americas, where we're talking about the need for convergence amongst movements to create massive structural change that needs to occur right now if we're gonna address these global problems that we're facing, like peak oil, like catastrophic climate change, like the loss of natural capital to sustain not only human life, but this psychotic economic system that we've, you know, been stuck in for the last 100 years. And I think that the tar sands represents the face of that beast that we're fighting against. And another world is possible, ladies and gentlemen, but to get to that other world, we have got to quit kidding ourselves. We have got to start deepening our analysis about the historical context of these power dynamics that have kept our movements divided. My colleague talked about the historical tensions between the environmental movement and the environmental justice movement. Well, the environmental justice movement was born from the inadequacies of the environmental movement and the social justice movement, the civil rights movement. Because of the fact that the civil rights movement, you know, did not address the fact that ecology is fundamentally linked to our quality of life. Okay? There was a profound missing gap there. And the same can be said about that ethnocentric approach of the mainstream environmental movement. Okay? There was a lack of analysis of the fact that environmental quality and, you know, ecology is fundamentally tied to human rights. Okay? Human rights, especially for indigenous communities who share a unique relationship to Mother Earth. And so, you know, I think that we have to really begin to explore these kinds of themes. And when we talk about solutions, you know, especially with the tar sands, we cannot fall down into the trap of relying on the market to solve the problem for itself. We can't believe that somehow we're going to offset the tar sands development, okay? That is just complete BS. We have got to get our government to control these corporations that have taken our government control and hostage, okay? We have got to get our government to initiate hard caps on big emitters in this country, okay, with a full phase-out plan of fossil fuels. And we've got to get an immediate divestment of taxpayers' monies, okay, and out of fossil fuel development and into renewable energy development. And I think the main thing that we've got to take a look at is that we've got to look at participatory democracy. You know, we've got to look at being engaged in building a renewable, zero-carbon energy economy, and we've got to be involved in that. Otherwise, you know what? Walmart and Shell and ExxonMobil are going to do it for us. Okay? And green jobs of the future will be $12 Exxon green jobs instead of highly sophisticated, technical, community-controlled and community-owned green jobs that keep our people at home instead of traveling from the Maritimes to northern Alberta and the tar sands and being away from their family so that they can just make money to pay rent over in Newfoundland. And with that, I'll look forward to questions in the question and answer period.